Hey, everybody, welcome to church. So glad you joined us. This weekend, just like every weekend that you're in one of our rooms, thank you for being a part of what God is doing here. And I want to say a big hello to all of our locations, at Hokesson and Middletown, and all of you who are joining us online as well. As you heard, last weekend we celebrated, and we're still celebrating, over 220 people who went public with their faith in Jesus through baptism, and it's just amazing. Thank God for that. And if you are one of those, man, we are so proud of you and excited for you. And I hope you'll join us at your location today for that baptism after party. We want to help you take next steps in your spiritual journey together with some other people in our church family. And very, very proud of you. And then this weekend, we are kicking off a new series all about influence. And you know, when we think about that word, what often comes to mind for us is people who maybe have big public platforms, lots of followers. We think about celebrities, innovators, athletes, artists. That's who comes to mind. But the truth is, all of us, whether we are any of those things or not, have a lot more influence than we realize, much more in many cases than we're even aware of. And part of living a meaningful life is really learning how to use our influence in a way that matters, in a way that makes a difference in the world around us, whether that's in small ways or big ways. That it's intentional. It's in intentional ways. And we're going to unpack what that looks like over the next few weeks. And I believe wherever you are in your spiritual journey, so if you're still kind of trying to figure out what God and church and a spiritual life is all about, if you're new to your faith, if you've been following Jesus for a long time, I believe the next few weeks can bring clarity to God's purpose for your life in every environment, not just at church, but in every environment. And so I want to encourage you to be here every weekend of the series. And as we kick things off, I don't know why, but when I was thinking about this first message and planning for this weekend, my mind went back to middle school, which I try to allow that to happen as infrequently as possible, just because of my middle school experience. And for some of you middle school and high school students are going to join us for Converge this week. Now, I love seeing what's happening in your life. But for me, middle school, honestly, was not all that positive experience. I wanted to be cool in middle school. I'm not sure I wanted anything more. My big desire in life was for people to think, man, that guy is cool. And I thought the way to do that was by doing outrageous things. So I got in a lot of trouble in middle school. By eighth grade, I actually been suspended twice. I dropped F-bombs in class. I got in fights. And look at me. Most of them didn't end well for me, but I was always willing to start one. And I organized a petition in seventh grade to have one of our teachers removed from teaching, had all these students sign. It was terrible. It was terrible. I spray painted a teacher's dress at a middle school dance. Orange spray paint, just walked up to her and spray painted her dress at a middle school dance. I cannot make this stuff up. And if you're wondering why in the world would you do all of that dumb stuff, the answer is very simple. In every single case, it was because somebody suggested it. And when someone said, hey, Johnston, you should, I heard, you must. And I just thought, man, if you're going to suggest it, I'm going to do it, which people started to pick up on and suggest things that they would never do, but they knew that I would do it. I just was so easily influenced. And when you mix a desire for affirmation and to be cool with being easily influenced, it is a recipe for disaster. If you had asked me at the time, you know, the classic question, if your friends told you to jump off a bridge, would you? I would have answered with a resounding and immediate, for sure. Where's the bridge? Can you give me a ride to the bridge? I'm ready to jump. And I was so easily influenced. We're going to talk about our influence during this series, but week one, we've got to start by realizing that all of us, whether we're in middle school, high school, or 20s, or 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, we're all already being influenced. And that is the reality more than we probably realize. Just like we have more influence than we know, we are currently being influenced more than we're aware of. And the only question is, what or who is influencing us most right now? And what are the ripple effects of that? How is that affecting our relationships, our spiritual lives, how we use our money and our time and our energy, and even how we see our own identity? Because we are all being influenced. So one of the most influential people that we read about in the Bible is a guy named David. David was one of the early kings of Israel, and before he became king, He actually was not royal material. Like, nobody was looking at David in middle school, so it kind of gives me hope, and saying he's going to do something great someday. But he devoted his life to God. And in the long run, he eventually had a lot of influence. He actually still has a lot of influence 3,000 years later, because we still read a lot of what David wrote. He wrote a lot of the Psalms, which are these poetic works that we have in the Old Testament of the Bible. There are 150 of them. David wrote a bunch of those, and they're like songs or poems, and many of them are very profound. They talk about the highs and lows of the spiritual life and faith and doubt and all of that. And we're going to read one of those Psalms today, part of one of those Psalms today, where David writes about coming back to God. He had made a series of increasingly bad decisions, which we'll actually talk a little bit about the story that led to that in a few weeks when we start our first series of the summer. But he had made these bad decisions. He'd messed up his life. And now we find him in this moment where he has become aware of what he needs to do. He needs to return to God. And so he writes his raw prayer of confession that is now one of our Psalms in the Bible. And in the middle of that, he writes this prayer: "Create in me a clean heart, O God. Create in me a clean heart, O God." This is Psalm 51. It's actually one of David's most famous Psalms. And he writes it when he recognizes that he has been influenced by his own decisions, by people around him, by relationships that he's gotten involved in. And it has corrupted him. And it has corrupted him on the inside. It's not just that these decisions have affected the external details of his life. His heart has become corrupted, and he asked God to create in him a clean heart or a new heart. I want to ask you today just to think about the dirtiest you have ever been, physically speaking. What's the dirtiest you've ever been? Maybe you've had a moment where you were caked in mud or dirt. Last year, went four-wheeling with a bunch of guys for several hours. We were out in the middle of nowhere, and we were just covered in dirt from head to toe, and we thought it'd be a good idea to go to a restaurant afterward. And everybody was kind of looking at us, and we didn't have any mirrors, and we would look at each other, and the funny thing is, we were always like, "You're so dirty," not realizing we were so, you know, you always think the other person is dirtier than you are. That's a whole other message for a whole other time, but like, you're so, and we started kind of getting our phones out, taking pictures of each other. We were so dirty. Everybody was staring at us. It was obvious to everybody. But initially, we weren't thinking about it until we started to realize, man, we're just covered in dirt. Here's the good news about dirt. If you've ever been dirty, here's the good news about dirt. It washes off. Aren't you grateful? Like, you remember when you were four and you just got covered. Aren't you glad, like, at 44, you're not still covered in that same dirt that when you played in a puddle when you were four? It washes off, and the good news goes beyond the fact that it washes off on the outside. The good news is dirt washes off the inside of us as well. And whatever we may have done wrong, whatever we've failed to do right up until this point in our story, God is in the business of creating clean hearts. He wants to transform the inside of us. And maybe like me, you have done some dumb stuff because somebody suggested it, or you wanted to fit in, or it was just what you thought you desired at that moment in your life. It happens to all of us. Our hearts pick up dirt from the world around us. It's not just our bodies that pick up physical dirt from the world around us. Our hearts pick up some of the dirt, some of the broken values of the world around us, some of the dysfunctional ways of living get on the inside of us, and we are influenced by what we focus on, consume, chase after. In fact, some of us have bought into this advice. Maybe you've heard it. Follow your heart. Anybody ever tell you, you just need to follow your heart? David followed his heart, and it led him off a cliff. It was not good advice. He's like, "I'm going to follow my heart, all right." And again, we'll talk about that in a few weeks, but he followed his heart. It did not lead him to a good place. Why? Because his heart was corrupt. If you follow a heart that hasn't been transformed by the goodness of God, that heart will not lead you to a good place. And so David realizes this. And again, here's the good news. If your heart feels dirty, like wherever you land with God and spiritual things, if you have this sense of something's not right on the inside of me, God wants to give you a clean heart. Dirt washes off. But we have to get to a place where we become aware that that's what we need. And we begin to desire that. And we ask God to do that in our lives because we trust that God's influence on our hearts is right and good. God is not in the business of going around cleaning hearts that don't want to be cleaned. And he moves on us and he works in us, and then he desires for us to respond to him and to ask him to do a work in our heart. You ever looked at a room in your apartment or house maybe, or looked at your car or a shirt that you own that you haven't, you've been looking at it for months, maybe even years, and all of a sudden you realize how dirty it is? And you think, how have I been living in this room all this time? Or how have I been driving this car and it's so dirty? It's just stuff everywhere. It's a moment of realization. That's what happened for me spiritually, by the way. I went into high school and did more of the same stuff I did in middle school for the first year and a half. And then when I was 15 years old, I'll never forget the night, I found Jesus. I began a real relationship with God. God drew me to him, and I had this moment of saying, Jesus, the way I'm living my life is not working. I'm messed up on the inside, and I need you to save me. I need you to change me. And God gave me a clean heart. That can happen for you today. And it did not stop there. He has continued to recreate in me a clean heart ever since. When I drift, when I pick up some of the dirt of the world around me and it gets on the inside of me, I'm learning I can return to God and he will give me a clean heart. He is teaching me to follow Jesus fully. Some of us think we got to clean up our own heart and then come to God. Man, I'm learning as soon as I recognize my heart has gotten a little dirtied by the things of this world, I need to make a beeline for God. He's the only one who can clean up my heart. And he wants to do it. And it matters as we talk about influence, because for us to influence anyone for God, I must first be influenced by God. I can't produce what I don't possess. So for me to influence anyone for God, I must first be influenced by God. Something's got to be happening in my life that spills out into the world around me. And wherever you land when it comes to Jesus right now, I want to ask you again, what or who is your greatest influence? Who's the greatest influencer in your life right now? What suggestions, whose suggestions do you tend to act on? And some of us are going, I don't act on anybody's suggestions. I just do whatever I want to do. Then you are acting on someone's suggestions, yours. And the question for all of us is, how's that working out? When it comes to the inside of us, who or what is our greatest influence? And what could it look like if all of us would stop trying so hard to live the life we think we need to live by our own power, or the life we think other people are expecting us to live, and we just ask God to create in us a clean heart? I want to challenge you to do that this week as we start this series. I'm encouraging you to make this a prayer that you pray this week. Again, wherever you are spiritually, God, would you create in me a clean heart? God, thank you that dirt washes off when I come to you. Create in me a clean heart. David continues his prayer. He says this, renew a loyal spirit within me. Do not banish me from your presence, and don't take your Holy Spirit from me. Are you familiar with the law of inertia? How many of us, how many physicists are at our locations this weekend? The law of inertia, you'll know when I start to say, you probably heard it, an object at rest stays at rest. Yeah, all right, now you're like, yeah, I know the law of inertia. I just forgot what it was called. Object at rest stays at rest. An object in motion stays in motion until it is acted on by an opposing or external force, by some direct force from the outside. Parents, this explains why your 11-year-old refuses to clean their room until you stand over them and tell them that they cannot have their phone back until the room is clean, right? It's a law of inertia. Now you know what it's called. It's a law of inertia. An object at rest stays at rest. It's not going to change until some power that's greater than it from the outside of it gets it unstuck. And an object that's going a million miles in the wrong direction is going to just go faster and faster in the wrong direction until an outside force moves upon it. God is that external force. That's what David realizes. If you've ever tried to change your life on your own, you realize how hard it is, right? How many of us have made commitments like, oh, by I am going to change my life. Today's, I'm going to be a different me. By 3:30 p.m. this afternoon, nobody will even recognize who I'm just going to change everything. I'm just going to be a new person. And by 3:30 that afternoon, by 3:37, you're going, huh, interesting. I seem to be worse off than I was before I made that commitment. If you've ever tried to change on your own, it's hard. We tend to keep going the same direction we are currently going until we are acted on by something or someone greater than us. And so that's what David prays. He says, God, I want you to work in me. I want you to act upon me. What is he praying? Influence me, God. I want you to become the greatest influence in my life again. I've gotten distracted. I've become preoccupied with things that are not healthy for me. Now, God, I'm returning to you. Renew a loyal spirit within me. Influence me. Help me not just to listen to the influences and the influencers around me, but God, help me listen to you. Why? Because for us to influence anyone for God, we must first be influenced by God. And David prays that God will not banish him from his presence, will not take his Holy Spirit away from him. He feels like because he had sinned against God, and by the way, he had been in this place for quite a while by the time he wrote this prayer. And he felt like, I've chosen what is less than God's best for me, and I've given God what's less than my best for him. He was concerned that God might give up on him, or that he would lose his connection with the presence of God, which for David often means not just individually experiencing God, but the people of God. He writes often about the presence of God in the house of God, among the people of God. So he's worried, watch this, that God's gonna give up on him, and that he's gonna lose his place among the people of God, in the presence of God. And some of us may feel that way, but through faith in Jesus, we can know that God will never give up on us. Through faith in Jesus, we have the Holy Spirit now living inside of us. You have an advantage over David, because now when we put our faith in Jesus, the Holy Spirit actually begins to live inside of us. He doesn't just come upon us from the outside. He begins to transform us from the inside out, and God will never take that away. And not only that, we can know through faith in Jesus that if we're willing to return to God, then we always have a place in the presence of God among the people of God, because Jesus will never leave us or forsake us. So what would it look like for all of us as we start this series, everyone in our community of faith? What if we would pray this week, God, create in me a clean heart and renew a loyal spirit within me. God, I've started to become loyal to some values and some ways of thinking and some people and some relationships that I'm not sure are in alignment with you. God, renew a loyal spirit within me. I wanna be loyal to your word. I wanna be loyal to your will. I wanna be loyal to your plans for my life. Renew a loyal spirit within me. David prays not only for a clean heart and a loyal spirit, but watch this, I love this. He says, restore to me the joy of your salvation and make me willing to obey you. God, influence me. That's what he's praying, influence me. I wanna sense your influence in a greater way in my life. I have kids and they're mostly kind of grown up-ish now, and sometimes when my kids were growing up, they obeyed me, and it was awesome. It was just an amazing thing. They would just say, yes, Dad, and I would say, oh, just, and then other times they did not obey me or did not obey me right away, and it was not awesome. But you know what I always wanted most for my kids, especially when they were little? So badly wanted them to know how much better their lives would be if they would do what I was asking them to do. It's like if I could just get you to understand that I am about to make your life miserable for 38 seconds, but it's gonna make your life so much better for 78 years if you could just understand. And I didn't want them just to begrudgingly obey, because obedience was not ultimately what I was after most. Trust and relationship was what I was after most. But I knew I couldn't have the trust in the relationship without the obedience. I wanted them to be willing to listen to me. You know how we see God matters a lot. How do you see God right now? Do you see God as someone who asks you to do things you don't want to do for reasons that will never make sense, that are really making your life worse, not better? Or do you see God as someone who knows what's best, and when he asks you to do anything, no matter how difficult it may appear at the moment, it is with your best in mind? It matters how we see God. And before this prayer,
David had experience with disobedience. He had been doing the opposite of what God desired for over 2 years. And in the process, I want you to watch this, he lost the joy of God's salvation, because there is a connection between joy and obedience. And he had lost the pleasure and the delight of knowing God. Do you know when my relationship with God gets hardest? When there's an area in which I am resisting his will. It's not long until my joy begins to die out because it feeds on my obedience. But the flip side is true as well. In the seasons of my life where I try to obey God without tapping into the joy of who he is, my obedience begins to die out because it was feeding on my joy. There is a connection between the two. And David knows that staying in the joy of God's salvation. You know, the reason he started going away from God in the first place was he became convinced that he could find the joy only God could give somewhere else. And he started to drift from the joy of knowing God. We read it this way in the New Testament. Loving God means keeping his commandments. Just can't say, God, I love you, but I'm not willing to do what you say. It means keeping his commandments. But watch this. And his commandments, they're not burdensome. And some of us go, oh, yes, they are. Here's what I've discovered. The moment what God is asking of me becomes too much for me, I have stopped loving God. I'm loving myself. I'm loving other people's opinions. I'm loving fitting in more than I love God. The moment what God is asking of me becomes just too much, it's because someone or something, including maybe even my own desires, are influencing me more than God. But when I go all in with loving God, his commandments are not burdensome. If you are struggling to obey God in some area that he has clearly revealed in his word by his Holy Spirit, that you know this is his desire for you and you're struggling to obey, stop focusing on how hard what he's asking is and get back to how good the one who is asking it is. Because the joy of his salvation will give you the strength to obey. And when you obey, your joy will grow. And when your joy grows, your obedience will grow. And you tracking with me? This is what it looks like to really let God influence us. So how do we do that? How do we stay in the joy of God? Well, part of getting to know how God is, how good God is, and staying in that place is learning how to spend time in the presence of God. Here we call this practicing a slot and spot, a time on your calendar and a place you go every day to connect with God. To read the Bible, to pray, to just connect with God. David, when you think about it, wrote this psalm in his slot and spot. It's a prayer that he wrote down in from his time with God that we still have today. And I want to encourage you again, this week, you can read Psalm 51. You can spend some time with God. If you're not doing this at all, start somewhere, 5 or 10 minutes a day. If you've been doing this sporadically, make it a habit. Every day, I'm going to spend time with God. You can read Psalm 51 every day this week. Pray through David's words. Turn them into your own prayer to God. Ask God to create in you a clean heart, to renew within you a loyal spirit, to restore the joy of his salvation. Because getting to know God means spending time in his presence. And you do not have to be a Christian ninja to do this. Don't be like, well, that's for all the really mature Christians. No, that's for anybody who wants to know God. Spend time with him. Get to know him. For some of you, you have taken a huge step to be gathering like this. And I commend you for that. Maybe you've never been a church person in the past or you had drifted away. It's fantastic, but don't stop here. You don't have to wait for the weekend to experience God. God has some Tuesday morning experiences for some people, where it's you in the presence of God and his word comes alive and his joy is restored. So what does all this have to do with our influence on others? How does God's influence on us affect our influence on others? Well, here's the last part of this section of Psalm 51. David says, renew me, restore me, then I will teach your ways to rebels and they will return to you. But God, as you work in me, it's gonna flow through me, make a difference in the lives of others. Influence me, God, start there, and then I will influence others. Because for us to influence anyone for God, we must first be influenced by God. Now, I know what some of you are thinking. Some of you are thinking, exactly. You're exactly right. That is why I am not going to influence anyone right now. Because I have my own issues, long list. I still got stuff that I'm working on in me. Thank you for reminding me that I need God to fix everything about me before I influence anybody else. And I know you're thinking that because I've thought it. So I'm just going to be very candid with you, especially in my life. I've had so many moments where like, God, really? I'm going to get up and preach? You know what kind of week I had. I'm not sure I'm qualified. And yet here I am doing what God called me to do. This is one part of it, but doing what God called me to do, even though I still have things God is working on. The good thing about them is they're not secrets. I'm not trying to hide them. But there are still unfinished parts of my life. So I know some of you are thinking, okay, good. Yeah, I'm gonna take the next 11 years, get really close to God, memorize the Bible, and just not do any sins for 11 years. And then I'll be ready. Maybe I can share my faith with someone. Maybe I can talk to someone about Jesus. Here's the problem with that way of thinking. Listen. Yes, we influence people when we share our faith, but we also influence people when we don't. Think about that. There is no neutral. We influence people when we get time with them and learn about their story and express interest in them. But we also influence people when we miss those opportunities and we don't. We influence people when we serve. We also influence people when we decide we're not going to serve. We influence people when we lead and when we don't. When we give and when we don't. When we pray and when we don't. When we forgive and when we don't, because of the law of inertia. There are objects at rest, stays right where it is. An object in motion continues in motion until God is invited into the process. Listen, the influence God wants you to have and what these next few weeks are going to unveil for many of us, the influence God wants you to have isn't about perfection. It is about modeling a certain kind of life, and here it is. It's the kind of life that turns to God and returns to God when you get things wrong. Because you know he is the only one who can make it right. That's the influence God is calling you to have. And it starts here. What or who is influencing you most right now? Is it the people around you? Is it the Holy Spirit within you? Is it your preferences and comfort and desires? Or is it God's will and God's plans and God's words? What or who is influencing you most right now? So this is real church for real people, and here's what that means. We come as we are. We're not here trying to impress each other with how spiritual we are on the weekend. We are real people. We got issues, we got questions, we got doubts. We have good days, and we have days where we're like, can we do that one over? We're real people, we come as we are. But we do not stay as we are. We come into environments like this and into connection and community with other people and onto teams to serve and make a difference in our world. Listen, expecting God to act upon us and transform us so that we become more and more like his son, Jesus. We are expecting to be influenced by God. I want you to know you're in an environment right now, all of our locations and all of you watching online, you're in an environment right now where we don't just talk about God and we don't just think God is a cool idea and our lives are not just 7% better because we go to church. We are being transformed from the inside out by an all-powerful God. And that God, listen, that God who has that power is inviting you to bring your real self to him every day and to let him influence you. God does not want you to wait until you feel spiritual to come to him. He wants you to come to him every day. The days you're tired, God's saying, come to me. The days that you're distracted, frustrated, overwhelmed, God's saying, start with me. Let me influence your emotions. Let me influence your decisions. Let me influence your value system. Let me influence your relationships, the days when everything's going right and the days when you know you have messed everything up. God is inviting you to bring your real life to him. The days when God is so close you can feel him, and the days when you don't feel God at all and you're not even sure he's there, God is inviting you to bring your real life to him. And God wants to do a work in your life that flows through you to the lives of people around you. And he's not burdensome. It's not burdensome when you know who your Father is and you live in the joy of his salvation. It's what God desires. And it can start here. It can start here. Practice a slot and spot this week. I'm challenging you, every single person listening to this right now, spend time with God every day this week, however long it is. Spend time with God. Pray Psalm 51. Let God set the stage to do something in and through your life at a new level during this series. Come to the baptism after party, your location. Take some more next steps in this journey of faith. Let God influence your life. Start planning to lead a J group this summer and make space for people to laugh together and pray together and encourage each other and grow spiritually together. Let God create in you a clean heart and renew in you a loyal spirit and restore in you the joy of his salvation, and all along the way, work through your life. Why? Because for you to influence anyone for God, which is God's plan for you, you must first be influenced by God. But you don't have to wait 11 years. It's an immediate thing. I'm going to start by letting God influence me, and then I'm just going to let that flow through me to make a difference in the lives of others. So if week one of the series, you would say, man, I want that. I want a greater level of God's influence on my life, wherever you are spiritually. If you'd say, I want to get closer to God, not further away over the next few weeks. I wonder, would you just shoot your hand up if that's you all over the room and here in Newark and Hocus and Middletown, online, you can participate in this. I want to get closer to God. You're saying, God, influence me. And let me pray it over us. Father, we love and honor you, God. You are worthy of all our praise, and we reorient our hearts towards you today. I think that's what this message is all about. We remind ourselves that we need you most, and we pray, and you can make this your prayer. It's David's prayer. Let's borrow it and make it ours for a moment. God, create in me. Come on, tell him. Create in me a clean heart, oh God, where my heart has become dirtied by influences around me or within me that are drawing me away from you. Create in me a clean heart. God, renew a loyal spirit in me. Don't banish me from your presence. I know you won't, God. I trust you, but don't let me drift from you. Restore to me, come on, tell him, restore to me the joy of your salvation. I remember what it was like, God, when I first put my faith in you. I felt that weight lifted off of me. Give me that back, God. My first love, my first commitment was to you. Make me willing, come on, tell him, God, make me willing to obey you. Let me be like a little kid who trusts their dad. When you say go, I go, and when you say wait, I wait, and you say yes, I say yes, and you say no, I say no, because I'm loyal to you, God. And while you let God speak to your heart for a moment more, if you're here today and you don't know Jesus in a real way, you know, that psalm we just read by David, you could probably feel in there this distance he was sensing between him and the God who created him. He was aware, man, there's a gap between me and God, and I need to come back to God. But there is a sense in which we all need to return to God, some of us for the first time. You say, how would you return to God for the first time? It happens when you become aware that even though you have not known him, he has always known you. And even though you've been ignoring him, he has never been ignoring you. That God created you, he loves you, and he sent his son Jesus to die to forgive and rescue you. And through him, you can have life. That's how you return to God. And if you want to take that step today to come back to the God that you're just getting to know for the first time, I'd love to lead you in a very simple prayer. I want all of us to open our hearts up to God again. And then if that's you, pray with me something like this. You can use my words if it helps you, but pray with faith from your heart. Jesus, today, I believe in you. And I surrender my life to you. I declare you to be leader and Lord of my life from this day forward. I'm turning to you, God. Save my life. I'm yours. And while everyone around you is focused on God, if you would say, man, that's me, count me in. I'm putting my faith in Jesus today, trusting him with my life. Would you lift your hand? Just hold it up high. Yeah, in all of our rooms, hold it up high boldly. I'm trusting Jesus with my life. Yeah, it's amazing. Thank God. Hands going up all over the room here in Newark, Hocus, in Middletown. Lift that hand high. Online, you could type the word faith in the comments. Let us know you're taking that step. And then one more thing. If you prayed that prayer with me a moment ago, be sure you fill in that connect card you heard about. We want to help you grow. We don't want this to be a flash in the pan for you. We want to help you follow Jesus fully, and that's a lifetime journey. We'd love to help you get started. But for now, Journey, would you help me? Come on, let's give Jesus all the praise. Can we do that together?